For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank. A year ago next week, the city of Memphis made history, or tried to erase it, depending upon whom you ask. In a coordinated overnight action, the city removed three prominent Confederate monuments, including a statue of General Nathan Bedford Forrest, the one that stood atop his actual gravesite downtown. To get around the state's historical preservation laws, the city used a tricky legal maneuver, selling the parks that contain the statues to a private nonprofit group called Memphis Green Space. They put the statues in storage and are supposedly looking for a new owner for them. A year later, the legal wrangling continues. With us this week to talk about this anniversary is political analyst Otis Sanford. Glad you're with us.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm great. Otis, these statues had been debated and criticized for years here in city, even under the administrations of Mayors Willie Harrington and A.C. Wharton. Why was last December the tipping point?
Well, I think at that point you had people who really had the political will to actually get it done. The other thing, and probably the most overriding thing here, is that no one in real authority, and that includes Mayor Strickland and others, wanted those statues to be up there as Memphis commemorated the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination, which was in April of this year.
By way of reprisals, Republicans in the General Assembly stripped funding from Memphis's bicentennial celebration next year. I think one legislator said, why would we give money to a city to celebrate its history when it's taking down history? But turning that around to them, these same Republicans who say these statues are benign tributes to historical events are pretty silent on the fact that since last year, Memphis has seen two neo-Confederate rallies here in the city, parades of white supremacists driving around downtown, waving Confederate flags in the faces of African Americans. Shouldn't Republicans take more credit for that piece of history as well?
Well, of course they should, but, you know, I'd be, to use the phrase, I'd be just whistling Dixie if I asked them to do that. So, no, I don't expect them to do anything other than what they continue to do, which is to kowtow or really to give in to that group and like-minded groups because it makes up part of their political base.
Many people have pointed out that if you just give the statues to other cities or public entities that want them, then you're just pushing Confederate values onto people living in other cities. Is it possible that this big bronze statue of General Nathan Bedford Forrest, who we know it was a slave trader and perhaps responsible for a massacre of African Americans,
right?
Could this statue have some historical value and a proper place?
Oh, I think so. There are some places, smaller communities, obviously, that would see nothing wrong with having something like that grace them. That's up to them.
So you think that a community should have a right to determine how it displays its history, how it tells its story?
Absolutely, especially on city-owned property. How is the legislature going to come in and tell the city what it can do with its property? But the maneuver that the city and others came up with was, well, let's just sell the property. And the person who owns the property gets to decide what to do with stuff that's on the property. I laughed about it when I heard about it because I thought it was a brilliant strategy to get around a bunch of Neanderthals in the legislature.
Since the 2015 shooting at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, more than 100 Confederate monuments have fallen across the country, all of them sort of entangled in the larger national discussion about race and bigotry. And I wonder if the monuments would matter so much if people didn't now feel so threatened by the rhetoric in Washington.
Well, that's a good question. And I'm not sure I have the answer to that. All I know is what happened in 2015 in South Carolina just struck everybody to the core, even though we still have the apologists and the defiant ones who are still out there. And we do not need to be hamstrung by vestiges of the past, and especially vestiges that deal with racism and hate and oppression and any notion that slavery was not all that bad.
It does seem like in a way that those statues coming down was kind of like removing some bad some bad mojo from the city landscape. There's been so much growth in the downtown area just in the past year. When you think about the One Beale development going up there, the Wonder Bread factory development, it's almost like we're seeing a major change. And I wonder if changing the image of the city has something to do with that.
I think so. All of that, everything that you just mentioned, represents a sort of a change in the mindset of how we look at especially downtown Memphis and other parts of the core city. I mean, let's not forget Crosstown Concourse and Highland Row. Those areas are springing to life. All of that, to me, is a symbol of how we're moving forward and not being tied to this racist past that we were forced to be tied to just because somebody thought it was part of their heritage.
Political analyst Otis Sanford joins us each week to talk about politics. Thanks again.
Thank you, Chris.
This is WKNO News.